This is episode 385 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, May the 21st, 2012.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation as 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. On the show today, Facebook is now a public company. It took 8 years to stage one of the most anticipated initial public offerings ever. The anticlimax came last Friday as Wall Street bankers struggled to prevent the newly minted stock from ending its first day with a loss. The stock had been widely predicted to soar on its first day. Instead, up until the closing moments of the trading session, Facebook's underwriters battled to keep the stock from slipping below its offering price of $38 a share. Such a stumble would have been a significant embarrassment. Also tonight, it looks like it's Hewlett Packard's turn to shed staff. The DNS changer date nears. Apparently, there are complaints about Siri. And the US and Australia team up on cybersecurity. Don't forget, there's the usual odd spot, gadget app and website of the week. But first up, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Facebook stumbles after its NASDAQ IPO, the latest from AusCert 2012, Steve Jobs the movie, and businesses still need desktop computers and printers. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Facebook is now valued officially at $104 billion US dollars after its initial public offering last week. In the United States, when trading commenced on the NASDAQ exchange on Friday, some 82 million Facebook shares changed hands in just 30 seconds. Shares rose initially from $38 to $42 before returning to $38.37 by close of trade, a rise of less than 1%. The 28-year-old co-founder of Facebook, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, had this to say to excited colleagues and investors.
Right now, this all seems like a big deal. Going public is an important milestone in our history. But here's the thing. Our mission isn't to be a public company. Our mission is to make the world more open and connected. In the past 8 years, all of you out there have built the largest community in the history of the world. You've done amazing things that we never would have dreamed of. And I can't wait to see what you guys all do going forward.
But U.S. shares slumped in trade on Friday, with the tech-rich NASDAQ falling 1.2%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping nearly 75 points, or 0.6%, and the S&P 500 stock index losing 0.75% in closing trade. Analysts say despite the hype surrounding Facebook's IPO, financial uncertainty in Europe was a major cause of Friday's poor market performance. The Australian Computer Emergency Response Team has hosted AusCert 2012, the 11th annual Information Security Conference. This year's theme, Security on the Move, focused on information security risks faced by people, businesses and society as the prevalence of mobility and handheld devices increases. Notable speakers included Mr. Scott McIntyre, Security Operations Specialist at Telstra, who detailed the investigation into a data breach which saw the personal details of 800,000 customers being exposed online in December last year. Mr. McIntyre described the breach as an eye-opener and said that it occurred despite many, many rigorous controls that Telstra had in place. PC security expert Mr. Eugene Kaspersky also spoke at this year's AusCert and warned against industry complacency. Mr. Kaspersky said his company's research suggests that malware costs the world economy $100 billion US dollars every year, and that the Stuxnet computer worm, discovered in June 2010, showed the industry that many modern systems were not protected at all. More information about this year's security conference can be found at auscert.org.au. Sony Pictures Entertainment said last week that the screenwriter behind The Social Network will write the script for a film about Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. Sony said Academy Award winner Aaron Sorkin will adapt the Jobs biography for the big screen, while Ashton Kutcher is set to play the role of Jobs himself. The biography by Walter Isaacson has sold more than 2 million copies since its release last year. Producers say the film will chronicle Steve Jobs' transformation of character from the enthusiasm and self-discovery of his youth to the personal demons that clouded his vision, and finally to the ultimate triumphs of his later life. It's understood that early scenes will be filmed in the actual Los Altos home where Jobs grew up, and in the historic garage where he and Steve Wozniak founded Apple. The movie is expected to be released in Q3 or Q4 this year. And a survey by Sage Software Australia has found that over half of Australian businesses are budgeting for desktop PCs and printers in the next 12 months. As the industry focuses increasingly on mobile devices and cloud computing and the elusive paperless office, the Sage Business Index 2012 says that 52% of businesses will be buying traditional gear, such as desktop PCs and printers, while 53% intend to invest in mobile technology and devices. Managing Director of Sage Software Australia, Mr. Alan Osran, said that the emergence of mobile technology as the number one IT priority in 2012 is not surprising. During these uncertain economic times, mobility offers a way of increasing business productivity and potentially driving down the costs of conducting business, with the added benefit of enabling flexibility for employees. The report, based on phone interviews with about 500 businesses around Australia, can be downloaded from sagesoftware.com.au. I'm Dr. Rom, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Let's sort this out once and for all.
Maybe NSFW?
Nah, jump on in.
We're doing the Coro, Dr. Ron. We've been wilting.
Most of us mastered the use of scissors in kindergarten.
Ha, yeah. You wish you were cool like us.
Oh, he just disappeared in the puff of logic. Where's Graham gone?
Oh, no.
No, I've seen you two go at it. Not you and Graham, but you and Dr. Ron.
Is it fair to say that the majority of PC pods out there are fairly autonomous drone-ish anyway?
Oh, well. You wouldn't want to work in the industry.
Pants are on fire.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, see what it is.
Good. That's tricky. Yeah.
Due to copyright restrictions, I'd like to remind you that it's illegal to make copies of View from the couch.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, well, let's drive on the right-hand side of the road.
High fructose corn syrup instead of sugar.
Hijinks. That's take a number for an insult tonight on Tech Talk Radio.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
That'll be us. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me, the usual lot. Graham. Hello, Graham. How are you? Graham Callaghan down the end there.
Hello, Andrew.
Lena Van Deventer in the middle.
Hello.
The thorn between two roses.
Aww.
Or is it the rose between two thorns? I'll leave that thought with everyone. You don't have a colourful T-shirt on this evening.
You're, I do not.
Very dapper in your greyness this evening.
Thank you.
Very dark and very Melbourne.
It is.
Yeah, it's winter.
And coming in very much in the end of the panel this evening is the fuzzy face Dr. Ron. Good evening, Dr. Ron.
Good evening, Andrew. How are you this week?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Going to be an interesting show today. Lots to talk about.
It's an interesting show every week.
Yes, it is. It is. We've been doing statistics during the course of the week. Find that lots of people listen to us, which is good. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Out there. Every 41,500 of you. Is that right, Dr. Ron?
Wow. That's it. There's a lot of people.
A lot of people
that listen to the program.
Which is testament to the amount of mail that we get from our listeners, some regular and some the first-time emailers. We love the first-time emailers. They're really good.
Yes.
So, yeah, anyway.
Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is the address to write to.
It is indeed. It is indeed. This is show 385, I think, for the record. And a week it's been. I had a lovely time on the radio today on another radio station talking about all sorts of interesting things. Black boxes for cars. We'll touch on
Did
that a bit tonight.
Did you defect to another station? A rival network.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Not the fine community radio station that you're listening to right now.
No, I went to a government broadcaster. My regular spot that I have over there on Auntie. Yeah.
Government-funded broadcaster.
Yeah, it is. Those who... I saw something...
That's a fine distinction, yes.
Yeah.
It's not government radio, government-funded radio.
It is. That's a good distinction. The they do launder money over there. I was reading...
Oh, allegedly.
No. It's not allegedly. Let me bring up the article. It was top of one of the news feeds I was reading today. Here we go, IT News. They had it up there. There's this... one of the techos over there had allocated server time on the ABC servers for... what's it called? Hang on, it's nearly here. Nearly on my screen. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment whilst it comes up. So the speed of the internet here is amazing. Bitcoin.
Spent time at the ABC, can't you?
I was doing your weight music.
Thanks. Bitcoin. Do you remember Bitcoin?
I do remember Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't. But I'm sitting there thinking, oh, someone got into trouble over it. But anyway, that's what you think about when you're over there. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about other things. Facebook floated, ever so closely floated.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was a slow news week. It was interesting but slow.
Yeah, you could say that.
Interesting but yes.
But well, Facebook did float.
It did. Well, it's neutrally buoyant. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, only by 1% or something. Very buoyant.
38 cents or something.
The best headline I saw was Facebook lists, and I thought, that's funny on a couple of different levels.
That is, yes.
You've got to take your hat off to a clever journalist, don't you?
Yes, I wonder if it was intentional or whether it was just a mindless subby who, didn't realise quite what he was saying.
Well, Facebook listed on Friday, and Facebook is listing.
Lists heavily to port, yes.
Less than 1% after a close of trade on Friday.
And rumoured to be Facebook's financial people who sort of stepped in and, made some purchases to stop it. The public relations disaster that it would have been if it had dropped below the original price.
The float price, yeah. Well, why would you... Well, I guess he had no say in it, or whoever the powers that be have no say in it. Like, I'm no financial guru, but why would you float a company of that sort of stature on in the times when the Greeks are taking us south?
You know, I don't know.
Everything is just in turmoils, like today.
It might
Qantas decided to shed staff, Retrovision went belly up, and Facebook floated.
It might surprise you to know that my mind doesn't quite work the same way that Zuckerberg's mind works. So I wouldn't know what was going through his mind. He had a lot on his plate, though, over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. He got married, too, in the midst of it all.
That was the other thing I was referring to,
In a suit that looks like he got it from an op shop. How much money's he got?
19.
Yeah. That's a lot of monies.
Yeah, you don't want him to spend it all on fancy suits, do you? He's got to save some for a rainy day.
Well, call me an old-fashioned romantic, but I think on your wedding day, you should pull out all the stops, shouldn't you?
No.
You old-fashioned romantic, you.
I am.
Okay, you can bring in show and tell your wedding photos next week and we'll check it out.
Oh, dear.
See, there you go. Answers its own question, doesn't
it? You'll wonder who ate Lena if I bring those in.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, upward and onwards, let's get the show rolling, shall we?
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
As Graham so aptly suggested at the beginning of the program, feedback at techtalkradio.com.au. It's the best way to communicate with us.
Yeah.
We also have a state-of-the-art feedback form on our website. Or you can just email the panelists directly. Have a stab at the email addresses. You'll work them out.
Oh, dear. Can you edit that out, Graham?
Right, roll.
Thanks.
I wasn't listening. I was looking at pictures of Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg? What's his name?
I say Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Zuck to his friends.
Zuckerberg.
They'll correct us in the chat.
Ray, via the Tech Talk Radio contact
form. Is this Ray from up north?
Says, in the chat. I think this is Ray Triple J, yes. Re-backups. I currently use Easy Backup Up to back up my data. I noticed that Windows 7 has a backup process as well. Am I better to forget Easy Backup Up and use the Windows backup only? Regards, Ray. Windows backup. I would tend to avoid. I haven't used it, but Windows makes good operating systems. I wouldn't trust them to back up my data. To be honest, I'd use third-party products that are designed specifically with that in mind.
The question is, what are you using Windows backup to back it up to? What's the destination?
Yeah, is it going to the same hard disk as the data that you're backing up, or is it going to an external hard disk or somewhere outside of the machine altogether?
Good question. Hey, you know, the 2 weeks ago, I think, on the show, Adam was talking about backups, which is what started all this dialogue in the first place. I did some research, Brian and I in the office did some research during the course of the week looking at cloud-based backups, and they are not all what they seem. And in particular, the upload speeds is very interesting. There are, without giving any of them particular plugs, if you are looking to find yourself a place where it says unlimited backups and all that, just check your upload speeds, because one of them was, if you want to upload something like 500 gig, which is not unreasonable in photos in this day and age, it'll take you 9 months.
Yep, that's it. The storage will be unlimited.
But takes a while to get there.
Yeah, at the rate it transfers with its default speed settings, it'll take a long time. GJ via the Tech Talk Radio contact form says, I agree with that listener from Tasmania.
That listener. That listener?
That listener from Tasmania.
About 2 weeks ago.
A little dedicated session would be good, explaining frequently asked how-tos. On this topic, you forgot to mention the biggest cost issue with phone apps is the data and info suck, he says, because the person from Tasmania was saying that, remember, they had a new...
That's
smartphone.
Right. Yeah.
I had a smartphone. They didn't know half the things it did. One I would like to hear you do would be on home network security. Mr. C is always harping about SSID and unprotected networks.
I think that's you, Graham.
You don't harp, Graham, do you?
No, I never harp. I've never harped in my life.
But if you can hack your neighbours and change the SSID password, it's a lot of fun.
So why not do a simple, listy, chatty thingy section? Here are some examples. My router always has me scratching myself and looking for someone to say... Look, a simple answer on X is this. For example, SSID broadcast, yes or no? Some security experts say not. Security protocol, WPA, PSK, PSK2, TKIP.
Do I have to push the nerd alert?
Length, value of, or best way to do. Guest networks, value of, or best way to do. MAC address filtering, time and data, type access tables, nifty tricks. Cheers, GJ. So GJ wants segment.
Like a word of the day segment.
Yeah, like a how-to of the week segment or something, perhaps.
Okay. Mm. Thinking caps on. We'll take it all on board. Send us your ideas.
Thanks, GJ. Wei Yin via the feedback address says, hello, team. Hi, Wei Yin. Great discussions on the show last week. Oh, thank you. He's got a smiley there. Look, see.
Aww. It's nice. He's so happy.
He's happy.
What did we talk about last week? I just heard the recap, and I can't remember any of that.
Well, he is about to ask a question about messaging applications. Remember we were talking about...
Skype and Viber
and such things. In response to correspondence regarding VoIP messaging programs, WhatsApp and Tango are other choices that my wife and I use quite frequently.
You're a big WhatsApp user.
I am. I love WhatsApp. I
think cross-platform? It's really
good. It is cross-platform. And the thing I like about WhatsApp is you can have groups. And you could have like a Tech Talk Radio WhatsApp group. And you send one message or one video or one audio segment or something like that. And the whole group gets it. It's quite clever. It's very fast. Tango I'd never heard of, actually. Tango, says Wei Yim, has video call capability similar to Skype and is a cross-platform service.
What's this called?
Tango.
Hmm.
Free of charge as far as I know. WhatsApp is messaging only. That's very true, but it's a great little app to use. With relation to the sporting rights, I think the sports chiefs should look at the model utilised by the United States Pro Sports, NBA, NFL, etc.
It works.
Where the leagues themselves provide subscription-based services to users on multiple platforms to view games live or on demand. It is such a shame that certain organisations in our country want us to live up to the perception that we are a backwater outpost still living 20 years behind the times. Adam, haha, I am definitely one of the laughing drivers speeding by. Lol.
Lol.
Keep up the good work. Cheers, Wei Yin. Oh yeah, Adam had that... talking about the copyright stuff. He was angry. It was saying it was like someone gets pulled over
For being good.
For doing the speed limit and people speed past and laugh and toot their horns.
Yeah, happens.
Matt, 88, on the contact form says, since PayPal was mentioned last week, I have a story about one of my encounters with them.
Oh, good, bad or otherwise.
Well, what do you reckon it's going to be? When Left 4 Dead 2 was released in Australia, it was released with a cut-down version which had less gore.
That's right.
No 18-plus games for you.
It also it had a lot of things, not just gore as well. The bodies disappeared when they fell. They just sort of disappeared onto the ground when they fell down. You'd kill a zombie and it would just disappear into the ether.
Because in real life,
instead of having a pile of...
You trip over them otherwise when you're in real life.
You want a pile of carnage around you after all that hard work, don't you?
Yeah.
Something to grab your
ankle as you walk past.
Something to gauge your success by.
And I think the blood wasn't made green for that, I don't think. I think that was Aliens versus Predator that happened. But in one of them, they changed the colour of the blood to try and get a smaller gore rating. But yeah, it was not the same game, the censored version.
Anyway, I wasn't winding you up, but it just says anyway.
It does.
Anyway, my son, who was 15 or 16 at the time, just had to have the version with the gore.
Of course.
So good old dad to the rescue. To do this, I had to create an American PayPal account and purchase LFD2, that's code for Left 4 Dead 2.
Yep.
Through that account, I associated my internet-only credit card with the account and made the purchase. Happy son. This is when things got funny. Funny, peculiar, not funny, haha.
Uh-oh.
PayPal suspended the account due to irregular activity and got Steam to refund the purchase cost to the account. The money then went back into my credit card.
So
they did a reversal.
They did. I contacted both Steam and PayPal several times to explain that I had accidentally, in inverted commas, signed up to the American PayPal service instead of the Australian one.
Wink, wink.
Neither party would listen. All the while, my credit card was still linked to the now suspended account. Couldn't then associate it back to my normal Australian one. After a lot of emails, getting nowhere, I used the Skype number. Oh, Matt88's quite clever here. I used the Skype number for American PayPal and spoke with someone who was able to disassociate my credit card. In the end, my son ended up getting LFD2 for free. But it did give, yes, did give me a massive
this is a
headache.
Scam.
No wonder sales for Portal 2 have hit 2 million. They were selling it for about $7 last week, so I bought a copy. Cheers, Matt.
Oh, good job. 4 million, I think it hit.
4, did it?
Yeah.
Portal think, 4 yeah. hit 4 million.
Portal 2 hit 4 million,
that's
I think.
That's right.
Mm.
I knew that's what I meant
good purchase.
Say. Good catch, Matt.
Yep, good
Marcus deal. Via the feedback address says, g'day panel.
Says.
Well, says got a smiley too.
Another one. They're so happy, our happy listeners.
Happy people this week. It's
Yay.
Great. Firstly, thank you for an outstanding program. Thanks, Marcus. Now to my
we
question.
We don't make these up, do we? You seem to say this on the beginning of every news.
This is what people tell us. It's great. But when we get nasty ones, we read them out too.
We do. Yeah. If nothing else, we do.
Here, 10 kilometres from Tamworth, I'm going to be offered the wireless version of the We all know how wonderful the fibre-to-the-home version of the NBN will be, but what about the wireless version? The NBN website says that the wireless NBN will have a peak speed of 12 megabits per second, but what will it offer in the real world? I've heard many rumours, such as the further you are away from the transmission tower, the slower your speed, the more people that are accessing the service simultaneously, the slower the speed, it's no good for online gaming due to high ping times, and limited to no access during heavy rain.
Where did you hear that from? Who told you that, scuttlebutt?
Marcus?
Is he in our chat?
I don't know.
Marcus, you should be in our chat. We've got the answers for you, because that's what we do here on Tech Talk Radio.
We research things and we get answers.
We know the answers to these things, and it's all urban myth.
It's all urban myth. Marcus says, I can't find the answers on the NBN.
I would have thought some of those things would have been more mythic than others.
Yes, you're right, Graham.
Yeah, some of those are probably legitimate concerns.
Let's address some of them, shall we? Have we got time?
Yeah, please.
Got an hour and a half left. The further you are away from the transmission tower, the slower your speed.
I would have said true based on my knowledge of cellular networks, but then thinking out loud, this isn't a cellular network, is it?
No. The peak information rate, this is thanks to Mark Diggins, one of our regular people who comes in, he's part of the panel.
And Marcus, if anyone knows, it'll be Mark.
Mark would be, yeah, because he builds and designs
builds
these
the networks.
So that's what is.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
The peak information rate will be the same no matter where you are in the coverage area. What really happens is that you are reduced to the maximum rate if you can get a better than that in the core network. So, for example, let's say, for example, they promise you 10 megabits per second. I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air.
Yep.
And you can actually achieve 20, 30, or 40. They'll pull you back to 10, which means there's plenty of headroom in the network.
Yeah.
All right. The next question was, the more people that are accessing the server simultaneously, the slower the speed. Will the network cope with multiple connections on the same tower accessing high-definition streaming movies on a Saturday night? Good call. Because everyone
question.
Will be home on cold winter's nights watching
using
movies.
Their broadband, yeah.
Absolutely. The guaranteed bit rate, which is what we just spoke of before, call it 10 meg, I think it's 12 actually. The guaranteed bit rate protects from overloaded cells. This is done by stopping any further people being provisioned on that cell once it is full. They won't install at your house until capacity has been upgraded or you can go onto the satellite instead. So they're giving you guaranteed speeds
yes.
down to your house. When the infrastructure is there to do so.
Yeah, so it won't depend on cell loading.
Correct.
That's yeah.
Correct.
That's good to know.
The next question, is it good for online gaming due to high ping times? Well, Mark responded, LTE technology has the fastest ping times of any wireless network, but will always depend on the backhaul transmission connecting the site. In fact, data travels faster over air than through fibre, but the biggest impact is the core network. Considering that the alternative is satellite, you're much better off on wireless.
Ooh. Yep, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, comes the rain question.
Is there limited to no access during heavy rain?
Now, traditionally, anyone who's into radio knows the higher the frequency, the more rain, the more impact on the signal strength that rain has.
Yeah. Testament but you need a lot of rain in between you and the tower.
Yeah,
so,
you do.
Yeah.
You do. You need a lot of heavy rain. Anyway, once again, Mark's responded, heavy rain has a very minor effect at the frequency used and is taken into account at the RF link budget. So you get a budget of how much RF power that comes to your house. rain doesn't really have an impact until you use frequencies above 10 gigahertz.
Yep.
And even then, more fade margin and extra diversity dishes are used for microwave transmission links. So they've thought of it all.
Yep. Rain would be more of a factor, I would think, for satellite users.
Yeah.
Yeah, you often have trouble with... only in extreme weather, where there's extremely heavy cloud and heavy rain, you often have an impact on satellite links, which are up in those high frequencies
once
as well.
Once upon a time, I used to work for Channel 9.
Yes. Well, Channel 9 had a particular problem at Sydney, at the Sydney end of their link.
Once upon a time, I used to work at Channel 9 in Sydney.
Yes.
and when the big storm clouds came in across Sydney Harbour and headed up to the hill there in Artarmon...
Yep.
Yes, it wasn't uncommon to lose satellite feeds.
Well, part of the problem with that was that can I say a little bit?
Oh, you can.
Part of the problem there was definitely, I'm pretty sure that it was the one you're talking about. One of the satellite links at Sydney, the dish was pointing up at the satellite, the big receiving dish, and it didn't actually have a drainage hole at the mechanical bottom part of it. So the dish itself would fill up with water and change its shape. Its reflection, the shape of the radio reflective surface would change because of the water that built up in the dish.
I wasn't aware of that, but that's feasible, yes. Pop out there with the Makita and bore a hole in the dish.
Someone should have done. Yeah. But no one ever, or if it did, it got filled up with bird poo or something, and yeah.
How do you know all this stuff?
Sorry, back to Coro.
Information sometimes just goes in there and lodges in an unfortunate place in my brain.
Tech Talk Wilfing.
Marcus, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Marcus.
About wireless NBN. And last but certainly not least, Tech Talk regular friend of the panel, Carl, via the contact form, says, "Hi team, a quickie this week. I've cracked it. I know what the Apple television is going to look like, and I beat all you experts to it. I figured it out by watching iPhone users. It's going to be sleek, aluminium, high def, fully integrated with iTunes, and wait for it, it's going to be vertical. Yes, says Carl, just watch all the iPhone users out there shooting stills and video with their phones in portrait orientation.
Yep.
Why would we want 16 by 9 when we can have 9 by 16 for the new Apple way of filming the kids? No big black bars each side.
I love it.
A glorious 1,920 lines of resolution. Much better than 1080. All the best, Carl."
So it's not going to look like a fish tank. It's going to look like a big, tall building.
Carl, you're a card, and you should be dealt with. That's all of the correspondence, Andrew, and you know how to communicate with us. feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
In other news today, we discovered that the DNS changer is looming. That's the Trojan that got into quite a few computers around the world. I was talking about it on the radio today on another station. Just a timely reminder to pop over and check that you don't have such a device. I'm sure none of our listeners would, so I'm probably preaching to the converted here. But dns-ok.gov.au will let you know if you have this Trojan on your system. Because otherwise, the internet on July the 9th, for you, will just stop.
You know, strictly, that's not true.
I know.
The internet connection will continue to work. It'll just be name resolution that won't work.
Yeah, so you'll go and put in techtalkradio.com.au and you'll be spinning the wheels of web browsers, and then it'll come up with a timeout error saying, "I can't find it."
Yeah, technically the internet connection will still be up, like what Graham's saying, but just that you won't be able to see anything. That's right.
Yeah, you won't be able to go to techtalkradio.com.au. But if you go
For that matter.
But if you go to 65.254.250.105, it'll work.
Good, thank you.
It's only name resolution that won't work.
What was that address again?
Our operators are standing by.
65-254-250-105.
That's today. But that's a shared host. You could get anything.
Oh, okay.
Careful. Yes, wherever that might end up going. All right.
I'm going to find out now.
Oh, good. The other thing we need to know about, which snuck under the radar whilst Mark was putting his social network up for sale, Microsoft rolled theirs out. Did you see this, Dr. Ron?
Yes, I did, because what the world needs, if nothing else, is another social network.
Yeah, and guess what it's called?
Social.
Yeah. Guess what the URL is?
Social. c.all or something.
Yeah, very close.
C.al or something.
It's a URL that needs no shortening of linking. In fact, if you try and shorten the link, it makes it longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
let's everyone just think about that for a brief moment.
Yes, shorten it and makes it longer. Yeah. Social, so.cl is Microsoft's new social network. They're saying that it's not going to compete with Facebook. They're saying that it's just a completely different beast altogether.
So but, right, it's not.
You've had a look already, have you?
No, I haven't actually. No, I couldn't. I'd rather go to jail, to be honest. Let me, I'll just have a, was it SOC dot?
No, just SO.
SO.cl. Sockl.
Where's CL domain name? Somewhere in...
Microsoft probably bought a country. And
yeah, probably.
Hang on, you can sign in using Facebook.
Oh, yeah, that's clever.
That's
isn't
handy.
It?
I thought about that. Or if you've got a passport account.
That's very funny.
Have I missed the point here somewhere?
Having a lend of you. Well, apparently...
Maybe they're just being realists about it. Trying to make it easy
for people. It's really tickled your sense of humour over there in today's show.
A cynic is what an idealist calls a realist. Let's just think about that for a moment too.
Social is an experimental research project focused on the future of social experiences and learning, especially among younger people. This is what Microsoft told CNET during the course of the week. Social, pronounced, well, SO.CL, pronounced social, combines search and social networking for the purpose of learning and is the latest experiment from Fuse Labs. There you go. That's what it's all about.
From what I read about it, the small bit of information I read about it, it's going to be targeted at university people, people doing tertiary education for sharing photos and videos, video collaboration.
Piracy.
No, like video collaboration and real-time video chat and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. The standout feature in social is the ability to create video parties that allows users to search for and assemble videos they can share with other users.
Yeah, that's...
So they can put all their favourite rock and roll clips up there and all sorts of party antics and share them.
Hmm.
Well, just what we need.
Yeah. Another YouTube.
Well, yeah, maybe it's back...
But a Microsoft YouTube, not a Google YouTube.
Mm. Do they have one?
YouTube meets MySpace. You'll go to somebody's Sockl webpage and it'll have 15 videos will start playing at once.
Sockl is not a nice way of saying
what it. Says Sockl.
I hope that doesn't stick.
Sockl.
Sockl.
It says Sockl. Look.
Warms the sockles of the heart.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm. Maybe the subcockle area.
Yeah.
Maybe the liver. Maybe the kidneys. Andrew, quick.
Yeah, help.
No, you dig your own holes. You can stand up in them later on.
We can't climb up from here.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. Let's talk about something more sobering. The Australian Taxation Office is...
That'll do it.
They're disturbed. Did you know? That'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they want my money.
Do they? Dr. Ron, you got a red penalty notice from the other day because you gave them grief and said, I'll get around to it in my own good time.
I'll get around to it in my own good time.
We're allowed to say that?
No, you're not, apparently.
Oh. No, I had to submit a BAS return for a company that's registered with to collect GST, and it was a little bit overdue. But they were very nice about it, and they didn't charge the general interest charge, which was nice.
That's good.
It wasn't too overdue, but it was technically overdue.
Yeah,
but it's paid now, so it's okay.
So we can talk about the Australian
taxation. We can talk about the ATO.
Well, they're worried about phishing scams at the moment. And I must admit, I've seen a few go past my inbox in recent times. And apparently, more than 4,000 phishing attempts directed at Australian users to fake sites for the government agency was reported in the last year. That's a lot. Mm. Now, what I want to know, is this identity theft, Dr. Ron? Is this why you would want BAS information? Because traditionally, as you would be a testament to, your relationship with the tax office is a one-way street. That is, you pay them. Is that not the case? Or are they trying to get information so that you pay somebody else?
They can give you money. They can give you refunds.
But really? Not in my life.
But you need a better accountant. The issue is, though, that a lot of the information that you share with the ATO is very personal and very valuable. You share your name, your full name with them, your address where you live, your business address, your date of birth, the names of your spouse,
so it's
children.
So it's just like logging into Facebook.
Well, you know, if someone who was launching a phishing attack sent you an email or something asking for this sort of information, you would think, well, yeah, that's the sort of information that I've given the ATO in the past. It's the sort of information I would share with the ATO. And if these people represent themselves as the ATO, they can get a lot of your personal information.
Oh. hence the reason why you can then go off and pretend to be someone you aren't, I guess.
Yes, yes. Well, it's not that these people are going to use the information to access something at the ATO on your behalf. They're going to use the information for opening, you know, bank accounts and all sorts of other horrible things.
Mm, okay. All right. So, yeah, just some concerns coming there from the ATO over a lot of scams. There's a few of them around at the moment. The traditional PayPal ones haven't, and the banking ones have gone a bit thin of recent times, I've noticed, unless my spam filtering's working well. Graham, you're normally a testament to that.
Whether you're spam?
Yeah.
I don't think I've tried to email you lately.
Very critical of my spam filter, which is offshore, by the way, so there you go.
I haven't seen a phishing email for a long time.
No, I haven't seen one in a couple of years.
Do you reckon the consumer has got wise to them at last?
I reckon Google have. My Gmail account never sees them.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's probably a good point. And a lot of off-site mail, you know, associated with hosting companies, I think a lot of them use those pretty clever back end sort of talk. We don't talk behind each other to know what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, yep.
So, all right. All right, we'll get on to the rest of the show. We might take a break at the moment, and we will come back with more after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, what does this button do? Hello, everybody.
But I buck the trend on the hive mind that is Tech Talk Radio.
Which is patently absurd.
It is absurd, exactly right.
But anyway, my point is...
Moving along.
My point is...
And why do you have to change the phone number?
That's a good question, Dr. Ron. Why?
If they're that clueless, they should not be answering the phone.
I can't see a blue tin. I can't see a blue tin.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website, techtalkradio.com.au, or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And on a lighter note, some of the funny things that go past the desk on a daily basis. I had to chuckle with this one, so I thought I'd put in the rundown for tonight. Siri, which is the personal assistant of the latest iPhone telephone by Apple, has come under some criticism by certain members of the community in the United States.
And what sort of people are they, Lena?
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
Whingers. Are they whinging?
Negative Nancys.
Negative Nancys.
Is that what you want to grow?
Is that what you're going
Something
for?
Something like that, yeah. Haters.
Whingers. Haters.
Haters.
Haters going to hate.
Anyway, one particular person whose name is Frank Fazio.
Oh, Frank.
Frank alleges that Apple's Siri commercials are misleading and deceptive. Well, many of Apple...
No.
Yeah, not bad in here tonight.
The Oscar goes to.
Yeah, absolutely. On many of Apple's television advertisements, individuals are shown using Siri to... How's your elbow, Dr. Ron?
Siri, the nearest hospital, please.
Yeah.
That works, by the way.
The closest elbow surgery.
Now you've distracted me. Your face has gone bright
what's
red.
Frank's,
hilarious.
What's Frank's beef?
Frank, yeah, that's right. We're talking about
Francois.
Frank. Yeah, him.
Frank the Whinger.
Yeah, the Apple Frankie commercials are misleading and deceptive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
On many of Apple's television advertisements, individuals are shown using Siri to make appointments, find restaurants, and even learn the guitar chords to classic rock songs, or maybe even how to tie a tie.
Is Frank from Australia?
No.
He's from the US.
He's in the United States.
Hmm.
Anyway, his complaint reads that in the commercials, all of these tasks are done with ease with the assistance of the iPhone 4S's Siri feature.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
A represented functionality contrary to the actual operating results and performances of Siri. So what he's alleging is
Frank,
that...
Frank may not be quite as familiar as some of us with the concept of advertising.
Mm.
In the advertisement, on the television, you make it look... You don't put it not working in the ad. The bit you put in the ad is the bit where it works for a change.
Yeah.
And I believe there's small print on the bottom of that ad.
Yeah. Oh, is there?
Sequences are sped up.
Yeah, sequences are shortened or something, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. They've even got a disclaimer on it.
So
then,
if there is that disclaimer there, he hasn't got a legal leg to stand on, I believe.
No.
Well, anyway.
Unless he's just having a... putting on his ranty pants for a
Siri,
bit.
Siri, is my brother here yet?
Apple did give Frank a...
That's one of the ones in the ad.
Mm.
Apple did give Frank a recommendation when he went to raise his concerns with the legal fraternity.
Well, he asked Siri what to do, and it said to go and buy a Nokia Lumia 900.
Oh, well, not quite. They didn't get that specific, Graham, but you're on the right track.
There's some stuff you just hard code, isn't there? If you're writing a digital assistant like Siri.
It does say the commercial, the small print says sequences are shortened.
Ah, well, there you go.
So there you go, Frank.
Anyway, Apple's recommendation to Frank was, quote, buy a different phone, end quote.
Good move.
Yeah. So
haters gonna hate. Don't let him get to your Apple.
I just thought that was quite
go
funny.
Go cry in your big dividends.
And nice to know that you're going to get lots of help and support from the Apple support network. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Go well, buy what else phone. Are they going to do?
Exactly. I'm on Lena's side this time.
What else are they going to
say? Make the product work, perhaps?
Oh, it works. He's just a whinger.
Oh, okay.
You can't read.
Matt88 in our chat room says he probably believes that Cocoa Pops are good for him too.
Yeah.
Cocoa Pops aren't good for you?
That's true.
It's like Fruit Loops. If you haven't seen The Last Big Bang Theory.
Anyway. No
spoilers. No.
Okay.
No, I think that's a good way of doing it. If you don't like the product, don't buy it. Next.
All right, we've gone from humour. We're going to have a bit of a downer. Then we're going back to astonishment. Here's the next bit. HP, Hewlett-Packard. They're going to looking to thin out their workforce at the moment too.
HP.
HP. Hewlett-Packard.
Like the source.
I've been to the garage and Lydia took me there. Mm. This is where it started. There's a plaque out the front of the garage.
In the garage.
In Palo Alto.
Is that what the P stands for?
Yep. Well, it could do. Where they all started. Four years after.
Have plaque.
Have plaque.
Yeah, they should clean their teeth better. 4 years after Hewlett-Packard's post-EDS headcount cull of 25,000 under Mark Hurd, the new CEO, Meg Whitman, or is it Whitman, is tipped to slash another 26,000 jobs. Sorry, HP. It's the sign of the times. You should have picked up that Apple thing when you were given the opportunity some, you know, how long ago now? 15, 20 years ago? Mm. When Woz took it up and said, I've got this little computer thing to HP, and they said, nah, sorry, it's not our market.
So May slash 26,000 jobs worldwide.
May. Unlike Qantas, who has slashed 500 jobs in Australia.
They're closing Melbourne's maintenance facility, is that right?
Mate, Qantas were very sneaky about that, either today or last Monday, depending on when you're listening to this. They announced it while there was lots of shenanigans going on in federal parliament, and there was a long-awaited-for speech being made, and that was when they chose to release the information to try and get it lost in the news cycle.
Surely it was just coincidence.
Oh, I'm sure it was entirely coincidence.
Graham, you're so cynical.
So cynical. 500 jobs, it's not really a laughing matter. And closing down the maintenance facility at Tullamarine, sacking a few from the Avalon maintenance facility as well. So, that's the end of an era for aircraft maintenance for Qantas at Tullamarine
Airport. In Melbourne,
yeah.
Sad times.
Mm. Our thoughts are with everyone losing their jobs at the moment.
Yeah. And then Retrovision, another retailer of white goods in Australia, has decided to go into receivership too, I heard, today.
I heard rumours that was about to happen. Did that happen? Did it?
Oh, I don't know.
It has happened.
There you go. Sorry, I don't want to break news before it's broken, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's not good either.
So, sign of the times.
Tough times out there, yeah.
Let's turn our attention to automotive black boxes. These are the same sort of things that are going into aircraft. You know, the flight recorders that when you plummet, have a hiccup. No, they're not, are they? They're bright red, aren't they?
Bright orange. Yeah. So they can be found easily.
Anyway.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of that stuff?
Oh, shut up.
Then they'd all look like Virgin aircraft or Jetstar aircraft. Couldn't have that.
And then their planes wouldn't break.
Why?
Because they're made out of the indestructible material of the black box, you see? See this is the logic?
Okay, good.
They wouldn't be able to fly. But
yeah, but what you'd have to do is, you'd have to put the passengers in and then squirt in this high-pressure expanding foam, which probably wouldn't do a lot for passenger comfort.
Would ruin my frock.
Ruin the whole ambience.
Ruin more than your frock.
I chatted about this on the ABC radio today and got a whole heap of telephone call of people ringing in about these devices. But in the United States, the Senate has already passed a bill that would require data recording black boxes to be equipped on every vehicle for the 2015 model year. And the House is also expected to approve the bill, which is interesting in itself.
So we're talking about it now, presumably because it's now that they're designing the cars that we'll be buying in 2015.
Well, funny you should mention that, Graham, but interestingly enough, these devices are already found in almost 80% of vehicles in the United States, including models from GM, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, and many others. Now,
so if there's a big accident, the people can go and pull out the black box and say, well, you were driving at 180 miles per hour down the 35 mile per hour speed limit, so yeah.
Yes, which certainly opens up a whole heap of possibilities if you'd like to put your cynical cap on again.
Absolutely.
Will insurance companies get the right to see the black box before they honour a claim or something? You never know.
Well, if here they would, because insurance companies have access to police investigations, reports, investigation reports into car accidents.
Okay.
So they can look at the findings of the police investigation and they say, oh, this driver was at fault, and then the insurance company can then take that on board and work out if depending on what their policy
if
is.
If that man was or wasn't over illegal breath, legal blood alcohol level.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to pay you, even though you've got comprehensive insurance, it quite clearly states in their policy, we're not going to pay out if you're the driver and you're intoxicated.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. These black boxes can record the date and time along with engine speed, starting steering angle, I should say, throttle position, braking status, force of impact, seatbelt status, and the more important one, Lena, airbag deployment.
Ooh, ouch. You'll know about that when it happens.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently it's designed to make...
Wouldn't it be apparent by examining the car without a black box whether or not the airbags are deployed?
Well, maybe so. But at what time did they deploy is probably the question here.
Oh, yeah, like in that...
After the impact.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was where there's a sequence where the car hits the tree and the guy... and then the airbag goes off just as he's relaxed from the big accident,
Well, all of this information is designed so that automakers can make their vehicles safer. Now, having said this on the radio today, we were inundated with calls by people saying, truckies ringing up saying, we've already got this technology in our trucks.
I was about to say, truckies in Australia would know that they've got these sort of data recorders already fitted.
Yeah.
But I think that they have to by law, or is it an industry code? I'm not sure. If you work in the transport industry, let us know.
Yeah, but I believe, based on one of the callers from one of the truckie companies that rang in today, that the police in South Australia in particular have the right to just rock up and plug into their flight recorder and check out that they're compliant, I guess, is the word. So, yeah.
Mm.
That's the US in 2015 will have all cars. Mm. It'll flow on here, won't it, do you think? And then we've got privacy issues again about who has access to your little black box in the car.
Yes.
Anyway, so food for thought. Mm. I think we should move on. Lena, I think it's your turn.
Ooh.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Exciting times. Very exciting times.
We need some good news. Do tell.
You know how my favourite game ever came out last week?
Yes, Diablo. And you got the collector's edition big box.
I did. It's gorgeous, isn't it? You've seen it.
Very impressive.
Beautiful.
The box is pretty. Have you played the game?
I have not yet. It's killing me. I've had too much work to do.
I still haven't played the game.
It's installed. Lena. It's ready to go.
Oh, she got out a little stick, which had a magnetic thing with the previous two games on.
A little USB stick. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. Hmm. But you were saying you didn't need to play that to actually take advantage of the new game.
No, you don't have to play the old ones. Diablo 2 was my favourite game of all time, one of the first games I really fell in love with, so I was very excited when the third one came out. Unfortunately, though, I talked about last week, Game, the retailer, went under 2 days before launch of Diablo 3, meaning that all the people who had pre-ordered Diablo 3 with them couldn't...
Yeah, some people had paid deposits or even paid for the whole product in advance.
Yeah, and they couldn't either get their stock or their refund. So that wasn't a good place to be in. But Blizzard came in and did something pretty incredible. Blizzard have said if you purchase the game now digitally and provide Blizzard with a receipt, they will later directly refund players the money that was prepaid to game. So they're going to foot the bill for you.
Wow, that's hang on a minute. So if I've paid, say, $50 to game as a deposit.
Yep.
And I and Game have said, oh, look, we haven't got your game and we can't give you a refund either.
Yep.
Normally, that'd be just bad luck. That's what happens when a company goes bust.
Yep, you've just got to write it off.
But Blizzard, who aren't connected to Game, no. They're not the owner of Game, or they don't have any contractual arrangement. There's no
nothing
obligation on them to do this.
They sound like just nice guys.
They said that if you buy it, you have to pay for it again.
Yep.
Even though you've already paid for it. But then you send them your receipt from Game, mm-hmm. and they'll refund the amount that you paid Game.
Yep.
That's really good of them to do.
It is really nice of them to do that. Australian Game customers with a valid pre-order or pre-purchase receipt dated before May the 15th, which was the launch date, can do the following. One, purchase a digital version of Diablo 3. I'm saying this for all the people who might actually have a pre-order who are listening. Purchase the digital version of Diablo 3 before May 22nd. Ooh. That's cutting it fine. You have one day to do this. download and start playing when servers go live, and then submit your game pre-order pre-purchase receipt to Blizzard before the 30th of June. And then you'll get a credit.
Excellent.
Which is really, really nice of them to do that. I think they didn't have to. And it's the stand-up people for doing that.
So what's in it for Blizzard apart from goodwill?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Good customer relations.
Good customer relations and a few more.
And that's hard to come by these days, so that's got to speak volumes about the company.
I think so. And how much money they've got.
Would Sony do it?
No, Sony can't do it.
No?
No.
Would Nintendo do it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
League of their own, aren't they? Good on you, Blizzard.
Sony didn't do very much to say sorry for the hack that happened. When they were in the wrong for that. I think Blizzard are doing an amazing thing considering they were not at fault at all. But yeah.
What Blizzard will get out of it is that those people that have been affected will tend next time, instead of paying a games retailer, they're more likely to just order it directly from Blizzard.
Yep.
Ah!
Yep.
That's probably what will say, okay, retailers come and go, you give them your money, they may not be there by the time the game comes out. But if I pay Blizzard...
And the game would be the same price on Blizzard as it is in your shop, isn't it? In the retail store.
Presumably.
So if not a bit cheaper.
Okay, because I bet to say...
Because it is a digital copy.
Yeah.
But it's starting to really change. So
the margin isn't... The Blizzard aren't losing the margin that they would have to give the retailer to actually sell it.
Oh, no.
So it's in Blizzard's interest to be the good guys here.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Which you're never going to do anything that doesn't... Well, benefit you in some way.
At the end of the day, you are a consumer, and if it costs you the same going through vendor A or vendor B, it doesn't matter as long as you get your game.
Exactly. And these people were really disappointed, so it was great to see them come out at the end either with a receipt or, you know, yeah. I think it was a good way to end that whole dramatic chapter.
Now, I did... there was a special edition of Diablo 3. What was it called? The Collector's Edition?
The Collector's Edition, yep.
Yeah. Now, I did see a lot of chatter about people who'd pre-ordered that. And there's probably not a lot that people can do about that.
Yeah, unfortunately...
because that's physical. That's got to be a physical product.
You can't get a digital copy of that. Because it does come with a whole lot of extras, like the soundtrack and the art book and the USB sticks and all that fun extra stuff.
So those people might... Yeah, if you'd ordered the collector's edition, can you get your refund for that if you order the digital edition?
I don't know. I haven't heard the specifics of that. I'll look into it and I'll let you know by next week, I think. Yeah, because...
Of course, it'll be too late. In fact, by the time a lot of people listen to this, it'll be too late.
Probably. But people who are affected have probably been informed of this already. Yeah.
But it is interesting to note what's going on, yeah.
Mm. There will be a Fruit Ninja competition... In Australian capital cities, three Australian capital cities in May. It's May right now.
What's Fruit Ninja?
Fruit Ninja is by developed by Half Brick. No, it was before Cut the Rope. Oh. It was before Angry Birds, I think, even.
I was playing that on the weekend.
It's a game where you play, your finger is a samurai sword and you have to slash through on the screen all this fruit. And all the fruit slides up and you've got to avoid slicing the bombs and try and slice as many fruit as possible.
Okay.
As much fruit as possible because I'm really good at the England.
Cool.
The week-long competition is going to be held in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. And there's going to be finals on May 30th in Sydney. Fans of the popular mobile title are invited to come along and compete on one of the 30 iPad stations in each location for a place in the final. The player crowned Australia's Fruit Ninja Master will win a trip for two to Japan, as well as thousands of dollars in other prizes.
No, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Who's sponsoring this?
This is Half Brick. These are the developers who made Fruit Ninja. It's a part of their tour, their anniversary tour, which celebrates the game's success since its launch 2 years ago.
Gareth says in our chat that Fruit Ninja on the Kinect is awesome.
Yeah.
I could imagine that on the Kinect. That'd be really good. Take your shoes off first.
Yeah. In Sydney, it'll be on Thursday, May 24th at Darling Harbour between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. In Melbourne, it'll be on May 26th in Fed Square from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And in Brisbane, it'll be on May the 21st at the Queen Street Mall. Oh, that's today. Hope no one from Brisbane wanted to go. Because it's finished already. But yeah, so we've still got Sydney and Melbourne that can go and play. That
Sorry, Switched listeners. Next time.
Yes.
ACME.
The Australian
Centre for the Moving Image.
Yep. Fed Square in Melbourne.
Yep. They are holding a Game Masters forum.
Didn't they used to make anvils for roadrunners?
They
did. That's ACME.
Oh.
That's ACME. They're launching a two-day forum exploring the intersection between video games and the broader cultural industry. Now, this is really exciting for us because Peter Molyneux, Tim Schafer and Warren Spector will be coming. These are big international names. Peter Molyneux was from Lionhead Studios, who did Fable and the movies, which I really love. I love bringing that up because no one really cares about that game, but I really loved it. Tim Schafer from Double Fine Productions. I've talked about him a few times, and Double Fine, especially in regards to that major Kickstarter boon that they had a little while ago. And Warren Spector, who did Epic Mickey and a few other good games. These are really, really big names in games, and they're coming here to discuss industry trends and future directions.
You get to have a chat one-on-one to them? Like, do you have drinkies and rub shoulders with them afterwards?
Yes.
Oh, that's the good
I'm
part,
I'm very lucky.
Get your photo taken, put up on your blog.
I will definitely get my photo
taken. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You should have seen the look on Lena's face just now, dear listeners. It was
Yeah, this will be presented by Film Victoria from the 28th of June till Friday the 29th of June.
Anyone can rock up?
But it's sold out.
No, you can't rock up.
It's sold out already.
Really? Very popular then.
Very popular. In fact, there's this Tech Talk Radio's own panelist, Lena Van Deventer.
And games correspondent
will be chairing the Games and Cultural Spaces panel.
You know you'll have to take a microphone and do some interviews with us with these legends.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Any excuse to get in their face. Something that's not sold out, however, that's still related to that, is ACME joining forces with Free Play to bring you Replay. Aha! See what they did there?
Play on words.
A series of events about video games and everything else. On the third Tuesday of the month throughout the Game Masters exhibition, ACME and Freeplay will curate a program of music, musings and memorabilia. Join a host of game developers, critics, writers, academics and other industry experts to discuss gaming icons, questions of convergence, play and what gaming culture means today. I will be involved in this one as well. This is very shameless
self-promotion. This is very nepotistic tonight, isn't it?
A little bit. But I'll be on the Someone Else's Skin panel on the second version of the second day of Replay, where I'm talking about gaming's most iconic characters and discussing what it's like to be in someone else's skin.
Not under someone else's skin,
no. Although that may happen.
Yeah.
You never know. And today, the Freeplay Independent Games Festival, which I'm also involved with, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm on their advisory
committee.
Is there
anything you're not involved in at the moment?
I have my fingers in a lot of pies, yeah. I must say. But we launched a crowdfunding campaign today for the Freeplay Independent Games Festival. This is really, really important, and if you love me, you'll give them money, because Freeplay is my favourite festival of the year, and the more money that they get, the better they can make the festival.
What are they going to do with the money? Are they going to fund game development with this money, or are they just going to...
Yes.
Yes, okay.
If there's enough extra left over, it will go to supporting local indies.
Okay, so primarily it runs a festival.
Yep.
But the festival is where the developers come to...
To learn...
What happens at the festival?
Play. Okay. It's a mix of a public program, a playful program, and a conference program. So it supports game makers, sparking conversations with the audiences and showcasing a lot of games as well. The campaign's about 2 weeks long, has a goal of $4,000. $850 has already been raised. We get funding from a lot of different places, but we're giving the crowdfunding thing a go this year as well. Any money over the target will help us get more speakers, more international speakers, more indie games being shown off, because there's an arcade portion to the event as well, more awards and more events between now and the next Freeplay, which will help Melbourne and Australia's independent developers.
So people who contribute to the crowdfunding, mm-hmm. what do they get for their...
Okay, there's a long list. I'll put a link in the show notes. I'll give it to Ron and he can put it in the show notes for us. It's just been refreshed. $950 has been pledged of the $4,000 goal. Since you've just mentioned
it. Since I mentioned it. Oh, well done, Lena. Well
you're very done. Quick, whoever was listening. A $5, you can give a minimum of $1. A $5 reward will get you thanks on the Free Play website. $25 will get you a t-shirt and badge collection.
Oh, that's the one to go for.
A $50 reward will give you tickets to the events of the conference program at the State Library of Victoria on September 22 and 23. And level one supporter badges and a Free Play t-shirt.
As long as you get a t-shirt all the way up and you all do. The level. Oh, that's the main
From there
thing.
On, you get a t-shirt all the way up, badges all the way up. You also get tickets to various other parts of the program. So the Playful program, the conference program, the developer program, more t-shirts. $100 reward will give you a friend of the festival recognition online and in the printed program. And then it goes up and up. Invitations to the artist parties, guaranteed seating in all the festivals. A negotiated workshop with festival speakers, 6 tickets for the Playful events, and as it goes up, it gets a bit trickier because it's more about negotiating with what you want for what you're giving, pretty much, as it goes up, as it gets higher and higher.
Just like real life,
yeah.
Where can people go to find out more about Free Play? Is your website?
freeplay.net.au is that festival.
The links are there to the funding initiative and so on, are they?
They are, yes. Yeah. I think they've done a blog post
about
that.
So that's nice and easy.
Yeah, so it's there's much more information.
Yep.
freeplay.net.au.
Excellent.
And it's
and in a wider sense, what people get by contributing is a vibrant and active games development community in Australia,
and an inspired and roused group of game makers, which is it's really exciting. We have a few festivals in Melbourne, as you know, as people who live in Melbourne know, there's a festival on every weekend. But this is one that truly has my heart because it's not really about games as tech; it's about games as culture and games as being part of a maker community instead of being part of an industry. Which is it's unique in that way. There's a lot of stuff around, but this is the only one that sort of comes at it from that angle. So it's very unique. And I'm excited to see how much it'll raise because that'll just make the festival even better. But that's all I got.
Excellent. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot, that's
Thank you very much. That's good.
I really believe that this is one thing that we do in this country better than a lot of other places in the world is not just... creative in general, so making creative content of films or television or videos, games included. I think it's something that we are good at, at sort of innovation in that sort of area. So
definitely, and the networking opportunities there are amazing, and you get to meet people who you've admired for years in some cases. So it's very exciting.
It's a bit of a buzz when you meet your peers, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
All right, you are listening to Tech Talk Radio. Today's show, Dr. Ron, Lena, Graham, and myself, Andrew, in for a bit. We're going to have a view from the couch in just a sec, and it's about television. Television's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's gone a bit downhill lately, but nonetheless, we at Tech Talk Radio are trying to fix that, aren't we, Dr. Ron?
We're trying. We might have some news a little bit later in the program.
Well,
That effect.
We have put together what some in the business would call a pilot, which is a TV show.
Who's we?
The four of us collectively sitting in here, plus some extra people outside of here who can't be here this evening.
Are you serious? A television pilot?
Television program.
Are you serious?
You mean all those jokes we did in the past about Tech Talk Television?
I know.
What?
I know. Anyway, for our lucky listeners who are listening to us this evening, we are going to give you a URL at the end of the show where you can go and have a look and a password. Now, you've got to promise us all, you can't give this out. No tweeting, no Facebooking. No, I'm sorry.
Why not?
Because.
It's just for people who listen to the show.
Just for our regular listeners. We want your feedback. We want to know what you think of this television show. Should we waste our time or should we proceed boldly into the new millennium and try and get this on television? It's there and it's high definition quality. Sitting there, ready, waiting for you to have a look at. And we want
Looks nice and sharp. Hit the full screen button and crank up the volume.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's going to be there for probably a week, maybe two if you're lucky. And as soon as we find out whether someone's tweeted it or Facebooked it, it'll be down. Bye-bye. Like a shot.
And that person will be banned.
And we're going to send Graham around. Oh. Did we tell you that, Graham?
No, I'm the official enforcer, am I?
You're the gatekeeper.
Walloper.
We've actually gone to great pains to make sure search engines don't index it, and we're not actually going to tweet it or Facebook it or anything like that.
I'd like the record to show my restraint has been insane.
It's been way insane.
It's been so hard.
Yeah.
So if you want to see us all at our best, or in some cases maybe not so best, have a look. It's all good.
And importantly for us, what would really help us is, as Andrew said, let us know what you think.
Yeah, we're all too close to it. We need your feedback.
If you like anything about it, tell us. If you don't like something about it, especially tell us that. Yeah.
Email us when you watch it.
Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au.
Yeah, well, when we give you the link down the bottom of the page, click the link and tell us what you think. It's important. That's why we're giving you this link, because we need to know. Meanwhile, Adam Turner has a view from the couch.
He knows about television too.
He does know about television, and here is his view from the couch this evening.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
The networks keep killing TV shows before the final act. In the last few months, we've seen Terra Nova and now Alcatraz axed by the Fox network in the US. Neither show is returning for a second series, leaving viewers around the world in the lurch. Viewers who'd made an emotional investment in a long story arc, in the belief that it would pay off. Viewers who won't be getting the answers they were promised. Viewers who must now be questioning whether they'll bother making such an investment in a TV show again. I had friends who were reluctant to get involved with Alcatraz after they thought that Lost lost the plot. I understand where they're coming from, but I was happy to put my faith in J.J. Abrams again. It looks like my mistake was putting my faith in Fox. Not that Fox is the only network to screw people around, as Ring was also recently axed by the CW network, which is jointly owned by CBS and Warner Brothers. Plenty of other shows with long story arcs have also been cut in the last few years, such as Jericho, Firefly, Reaper, The 4400, Jeremiah, and Crusade. Now, shows can't last forever, and I'm not angry with Fox simply because Alcatraz was axed. These things happen. I'm angry because it was done in such a way that we're totally left in the lurch and the writers had no chance to provide closure for their long story arcs. The more complicated a show is and the more it strings you on, the more of an obligation I think they have to give you some kind of ending. Fox might not have broken its written contract with the writers, but in my book it's certainly broken its unwritten contract with the viewers. The problem for the networks is that thanks to new technologies, viewers don't have to just sit there and take it anymore. More and more, they'll start to ask why they should commit to a TV show when the networks clearly won't commit to it. I know that after the axing of Terra Nova and Alcatraz, I've got absolutely no interest in watching the new Fox series Touch, which is screening in Australia on 10. Yeah, Touch has been picked up for a second series, but who's to say that Fox won't kill it off next year and leave us in the lurch again? I've been hurt too many times, and I'm just not going back anymore. Maybe it's time to find a new model for producing these kind of long story arc dramas which just can't be trusted to networks such as Fox. The internet could be the answer, as it can cut the old world media giants out of the equation and put creators directly in touch with the viewers. We've seen crowdfunded movies such as Iron Sky, but could someone like J.J. Abrams or Joss Whedon have the clout to pull off a crowdfunded TV show? There was a lot of talk of a crowdfunded revival of Firefly, but that seems to have stalled. It will still be interesting to see how J.J. Abrams responds if fans call for closure on the Alcatraz storyline. He must be just as frustrated as we are. Traditional networks are losing their grip over our viewing habits, and they've only themselves to blame. I'm wondering, will people be prepared to put down a few dollars up front in order to know that the writers will get the chance to finish telling their story? I know that I'd be far more likely to commit to a show like Alcatraz in the future if I had a little bit more control over whether or not we'd actually see the end.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you, Adam. He can be read about in the Sydney Morning Herald. And
television without the networks in between the creators and us.
It's the future.
Yes, it definitely is. Absolutely where it is.
Content is king. Always has been, always will be. It's just a matter of letting this current...
And I have a comment to make.
Ooh.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Well, how successful was that?
Very.
Joss Whedon project. He basically got together, created this fantastic. It's effectively
musical.
A 45-minute would fit in an hour-long TV slot. As a one-off, as like a telemovie type thing.
He wrote it during the writer's strike.
Wrote it. Yeah, it was something for him and his mates to do while TV production was all on hold during the writer's strike. They wrote it. They produced it. It's fantastic.
Mm.
It's and they released it on the internet. They released it on the internet initially for free, so that you could look at it without having to pay for it. And they've since released the soundtrack album on CD. They've released the DVD version that you can go and buy. They've now released the Blu-ray version that you can go and buy. It's all... and it's all become... They've all got their money back that they put into it. And they're raking in the dollars now with the Blu-ray release. And it's what creative people can do and what the fans will love without a television network or a movie studio in between them and us.
Mm.
It's one of the issues with the TV stations is they do like to take a bit of control over who's presenting,
absolutely,
what they're doing, what's being said, and
one of
sort of stuff.
Yeah, one of the freedoms they had, they produced this in three episodes that were released over a period of time. And, yeah, they didn't have to cut it to length. They didn't have to make it fit in a 30-minute TV slot. They didn't have to put filler in to make it longer, and they didn't have to cut good stuff out to make it shorter. It was the length that it needed to be the pace that they wanted it to be paced at. And, yeah.
And it's finished when it's finished.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And, if you haven't seen it, go and have a look. Just Google it, Dr. Horrible. You'll find it, no worries.
DrHorrible.com.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Dr. Ron.
There it is.
Doctor.
So, yeah.
Doctor's in the hallway.
And I think this is a big hint as to what the future is. But
absolutely,
there's traps. There's things that could go terribly, terribly wrong. And one of the things that's likely to go wrong, particularly if anyone in Australia has anything to do with it, because Australians are worse at this than anybody else. Having said before what Australians are good at, this is one thing that Australians are really bad at. What I think you'll find will happen in Australia in the initial stages is that some really good movie or TV show will come out and it'll only be for Telstra. And unless you've got a T-Box or a T-Hub, you won't be able to look at it. Or it'll only be for Sony. And unless you've got a Bravia or a PlayStation, you won't be able to see it. Now, if that sort of nonsense goes on, then the whole thing will fall over and it won't work.
The internet's a wonderful place at the moment, but unfortunately there's a lot of noise out there. So to find good quality content amongst the noise can be quite tricky. But once you do find it, it's good. That's why I think Google's trying to do their channels over there in the United States, their high-def paid content type sort of channels. But then there are other great channels too on YouTube. You find people that provide content like that, and it can be quite interesting and entertaining and informative, not crass. You know, you don't see the silly, funniest home videos type videos out there, so... It's just a matter of knowing where to look.
Mm. Yep.
And hopefully, as Graham says, a big telco or a big corporation doesn't come between
please,
you and
please,
content.
Please don't tie this down and make it so you can only view it on your T-Box or you can only view it on your Next G mobile, and if you've got an Optus mobile, you're not allowed to see it. That's just,
no, that's
if that sort of crud goes on, then...
Our program, anyone can see it. Did you know? Just go to the URL, type it in. You can watch it on your iGadget. You can watch it on your... Android gadget, you can watch it on your
and
computer. You can
Andrew
watch it on your
Dimitriou
television.
Won't come and yell at us if you watch it on an Optus device.
Oh, no, we didn't mention him in the pilot.
We'll just tell him to buy another phone.
But do you remember seeing all those tweet pics from us and those tweets in the course of times at late nights at certain...
There were a couple of hashtags at various points.
There weren't there?
Hash TTRTV and TTTV.
You get to see what we're up to tonight. We'll announce it very shortly.
Mm.
So stick around.
It's a big announcement.
Yeah, it's down in the odd spot, so
you have to wait to the end of the show to hear about it.
Take that with a grain of salt, won't you?
it might be the odd spot.
It could.
That's a very odd spot.
It's not April Fool's Day. No.
Nothing if not an odd spot.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's worth sticking around on today's show then, isn't it, really? Anyway, we might take a break. We'll come back and we'll get through some of the red things on the rundown, which is what we teased and have to get through. So back with more after this.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, what is
does this button do? Hello, everybody.
But I buck the trend on the hive mind that is Tech Talk Radio.
Which is patently absurd.
It is absurd, exactly right.
But anyway, my point is...
moving along.
My point is...
And why do you have to change the phone number?
That's a good question, Dr. Ron. Why?
If they're that clueless, they should not be answering the phone.
I can't see a blue tin. I can't see a blue tin.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
We're going to scoot through a few things here before we come up with the Oddspot Gadget website and announcement of the week.
We've got stuff in red.
We have got stuff in red. We'll
serious clear, stuff.
Clear the red stuff serious off the business. Rundown first. We've done most of it. I was just going to talk briefly about the US and Australia are going to team up on cybersecurity. With Attorney General Nicola Roxon saying that the US and Australia have agreed on a statement of intent to increase collaboration. Oh, that's a mouthful. On cybersecurity, which means they're going to work together more.
Yeah, which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
It could be. The new and emerging challenges of the digital economy were the subject of recent talks in Canberra between both parties. And, basically they're just going to work together. And I think that ties in, Dr. Ron, with what you were saying in the beginning of the news this evening.
Yeah, what was that? It was something about a security conference?
AusCert, the Australian Computer Emergency Response Team Conference. AusCert 2012, which they have every year.
Yeah. They were talking about, proliferation of small screen devices.
Yeah, security creating... on the move was the theme for this year. And they had people speaking there like Eugene Kaspersky.
Yeah. Oh, Eugene's been on our show before.
Yes.
He has. Yeah.
Eugene said that he believed that the world had learnt nothing about security since the Stuxnet computer worm, and that which showed just how badly systems were not protected.
Yeah. Well, the governments are going to share information with each other. Obviously, they all have their own departments, you know, their cybersecurity departments, and now they're going to talk, which is good. So let's hope it works in our favours. I think it should be quite good. I don't know what they're going to talk about, but obviously worms and things. And
we're going to let more Americans into Pine Gap. It's good.
Is that place still going?
Oh, I remember driving. It's a boom industry.
Is it? Oh, good.
Conspiracies. US Marines have invaded Darwin too.
Oh, no, that's why Dr. Ron had to get out.
Yeah. So, Dr. Ron, it's best if you leave.
They were arriving just as the ground you were leaving. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, the other thing Eugene said, which was interesting, was that SCADA systems are lacking
in their
security. SCADA systems, they're...
What's a SCADA?
SCADA, they're supervisory control systems. SCADA systems have been used for many, many years, like 15, 20, 30 years. They're remote control systems for maintenance. So a SCADA system might be used to control all of the valves on a pipeline, and it's a monitoring system. Or a SCADA system might be used to monitor all the alarms, all the door switch alarms at remote radio sites, and there are a lot of SCADA systems out there, and they're all very old, and they're almost all Unix-based systems, and according to Eugene, almost all of them have no security whatsoever, and this is a big concern in terms of infrastructure security.
Okay.
So if somebody was able to hack into the Melbourne Water might have a SCADA system which controls or monitors water flow through key parts of the water distribution system. If people could hack into that, that could cause enormous amounts of trouble. Oh. So Eugene was focusing on
that. Subject
of
feature films, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a reality, and he's very concerned about it. He just said that, look, the industry needs to pull up its socks.
Okay. Mm. Good tip. Thanks, Eugene.
If you're interested, have a look at the AusCert homepage, which I think it's auscert.org.au, auscert.org.au. They've got all the minutes there and all the guest speakers that were there.
Can we turn our attention to rumour and scuttlebutt, something that we do quite a bit here on Tech Talk Radio? You hear it first. But the iPad Mini, have you heard of this one, Lena?
No.
You haven't?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I don't care.
Oh, don't you?
No.
All right.
I don't like rumours. They're boring.
Wouldn't an iPad Mini be an iPhone?
No, that's an iPad Nano.
Sort of.
iPad Nano. I like that. It's very good.
Well, you know, who was the viewer at the beginning of the program who sent through some information about he'd finally worked out Apple TV and all that sort of stuff, whose name eludes me at the moment. But
Carl, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been Carl.
That was Carl the Troll. Yes.
There you go.
There he is.
Carl the Troll.
Well, apparently...
We love you, Carl.
Apple's display suppliers are reportedly preparing to undergo certification examinations as rumours surrounding a smaller version of Apple's widely popular iPad tablet continue to circulate.
Well, this sits nicely alongside the rumour that Apple's display suppliers have been asked to provide a larger screen for the iPhone 5.
Mm, yes, because that was Steve was going to go all the way to the edges, I think, in the next edition of the iPhone.
The iPhone is getting bigger and the iPad is getting smaller and they'll meet in the middle somewhere.
Okay, well, this could be it, maybe. Who knows? Rumours, speculation. The Taiwanese-based news organisation, the Liberty Times...
Meantime, everybody will buy a Galaxy Note and be perfectly happy.
Sorry, I believe you. I really do. No, I can't even say it. No, they won't. Sorry. Go. Keep going.
Why? You're blushing. What's wrong?
I just find that funny.
That's two people on that side of the panel that's blushed today, Graham. You're the only one who hasn't. So anyway, how's your elbow, by the way, Dr. Ron?
We've got half an hour yet. You wait.
Dear. The organisation's reported, that's the news organisation's reported, that the display panel suppliers LG and AU Optronics are currently readying their lines and sample panels for the certification exam, which obviously they have to submit back to Apple. Now, the good thing about this is that... Apple is rumored to be developing the ultra-thin iPad mini that will launch in the fourth quarter of this year. And the tablet will seemingly feature a display that measures 7.85 inches diagonally. Says Graham with his fingers out. Yeah, about that big. And a recent report suggests that Apple intends to launch a fierce attack on low-cost tablets from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, being the Kindle and the Google thing.
The Kindle and the Nook.
There, that one, yes. So the pricing for the iPad mini is between $200 and $250 US.
How can they say that? They just pulled that out of nowhere.
It's rumour, scuttlebutt, and innuendo.
Take it
on board for what it is and don't believe a word of it.
Yeah.
Wait until the fourth quarter comes along and go, that was rubbish. Okay. Or, wow, that's true.
iPad users in the room.
Yeah.
Who wants their iPad to be thinner and smaller and lighter?
Not me. No, I'm happy with mine.
No, you've got iPads too, Andrew.
Do you
need it to be thinner and smaller and lighter than it is already?
I only use mine to play Angry Birds and hotel venues around the country like I did on the weekend.
It's funny. That's what I use my Lenovo tablet for.
Fruit Ninja competitions.
Yeah, correct. So, no, I'm quite happy with the size that I currently have.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe it's a split between somewhere between the iPhone and the iPad, I don't know.
You guys get hotel rooms together or separate?
Now he's...
Yeah, lol.
I traditionally go with the family there.
Dr. What?
Yeah,
just stop the rumours and scuttlebutt now.
I was serious about the Galaxy Note, but...
Rumours and scuttlebutt about Apple are all right, but not about our fellow panellists. Mental note. I'll write that down.
The chat has gone off this evening. I'm not going to repeat anything that's there, but I've just noticed that they're firing on all cylinders out there.
Hello, chatsters.
Yes. If you are listening to us live, come along and say hello. There's all sorts of interesting people there. Prince Charles was in there before. Craig from Adele is in there. I think that's short for Prince Charles. Well, who knows? That's the type
Just a Prince Charles. He comes in six packs.
They're the type.
Buy him at Bunnings.
I give up. They're the type of pranksters that come into our chat room. Hey, did you notice that the iCloud was down for 15 million users during the course of last week for a short period of time, Lena?
No
one did. Apparently, Apple confirmed outage to its cloud platform that for more than an hour last Monday, it went down, affecting 15 million people worldwide.
There you go. Can't trust Apple. Don't use it for cloud services.
Oh, my God.
Can't trust cloud computing. Save everything on your hard disk.
You had to hear it from them. So it couldn't have been too bad.
Google have outages on a regular occasion. They all do.
Yeah.
You guys, stop it.
Gmail had an outage a few weeks back, was in the news.
Yeah.
Which affected millions of people.
Yeah, it did. Microsoft are going to drop free upgrades to Windows 8. No free ride, apparently.
So you can't upgrade from 7 to 8, is what you're saying?
Remember when you used to... No, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Remember how you used to have a period of time, which would be maybe 3 months leading up to...
Oh, I see. Yes.
To the launch of a new operating system, whereas if you bought it, you'd get a free pass to get the next version without any hassle. Well, I think that's what they're going to be dropping, so...
Microsoft says no.
Yeah, the price of Microsoft's offer to upgrade recently bought Windows 7 machines, at least in the US, is expected to be $14.99. That's not much, though. So they're going to get something. Maybe they're recovering the cost for their data or media or something like that. It's expected to begin the promotional campaign in the US on June the 2nd, coinciding with the launch of its Windows 8 preview release as opposed to the release candidate, traditionally the final phase of Windows prior to the version release to manufacturers. So it's not far off, really, is it? You looking forward to it, Graham?
Yes and no.
I'd ask that to Lena, but I know the answer, so I'll talk to you.
No, well, yes and no. I like Windows, but then I liked Windows XP before I had Windows my Windows XP. 7 machine, and now I like my Windows 7 machine, so... I haven't liked the previews so far, but then I haven't used it in, you know, in a real situation, so I don't know.
We always
it'll be interesting.
We always sit on the fence a bit when new operating systems come out and see who's used it and if there's been any problems or whatever. That's from Windows.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that that resistance to change, and sometimes it pays us to change, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, those who were quick to look at how good Vista was going to be probably didn't have a good time of it, but you know, and it made us all hesitant with Windows 7 when perhaps we should have gone there much, much sooner. And yeah, so will Windows 8 be Vista or will it be Windows 7? Will it be Windows ME or will it be Windows
Vista.
XP?
It'll be Vista. It'll make Vista look good.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, Lena's put it through the hoops. She doesn't like it at all.
Hate it.
What did you put it through the hoops on, is what I want to know.
On this.
What's that?
My MacBook Pro.
Okay. You had boot camp up there, did you?
Yes, I did.
Have a play with the pre-release.
You know, you see, the thing with Windows 8, though, is that it's all this touch-centric stuff, which is going to be shocking for those of us who use old laptops, you know, the old way of doing things. But there'll be a whole lot of hardware will come out at the same time as Windows 8 comes out. So we won't be using it on our laptops that are running Windows 7 in quite the same way. We'll be using it on a device that doesn't even exist yet. It'll look like an iPad, but it'll be a Windows machine, and it won't be running a phone operating system like the iPad does. It'll be running a full-blown operating system like Windows. So it would be like running Mac OS on your iPad. So it's a world where we haven't quite been yet. So yeah, could be a complete game changer, or it could all fizzle and die and be nothing.
Absolutely. Anyway, be interesting to see what happens. We'll watch this space. It's all going to happen towards the end of the year, which will be very exciting, won't it?
I
was going to say, they really need something to recover from Windows Phone, from the failed experiment that was Windows Phone.
Mm. Well, I don't say that.
Well, it hasn't got any traction at all.
No.
I just haven't seen it. As much as I'd like for people to be using another operating system on their mobile devices, it just hasn't got the traction. It's not there.
Yeah, okay.
And it's going to be the death of Nokia.
Nokia.
Yeah, they're a footnote in obscurity now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they've put all their eggs in the Windows phone basket.
Graham says that because they partnered. So that's right. We're going to use Windows Phone as our primary operating system on our devices.
Yeah.
All right. Google, let's talk about them for a little bit. Launching Chrome for iOS in 2012.
Ooh, interesting.
This is rumor. And if you read deep into the reason why they're doing that, they have to give Apple a cut. Of revenue based on the fact that
they've got to sell it through the App Store,
Mac App Store.
It's the same with Firefox. Firefox have to give
everybody.
Yeah,
it's everybody who wants stuff to run on the iPhone or iPad has to give Apple a. It's not just a little cut either.
It's about 50% or 60% revenue sharing deal. I think that they've got with it. So they're going to bring Chrome out to bypass
the App Store is 30%. Wow. The Mac App Store might be different, but the App Store for the iPhone and iPad is 30%. Apple takes 30%.
Yeah, but this might be a different deal somehow.
I think this is a search deal, not opposed to an app deal,
if
you know what I mean.
Right.
So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Chrome on iOS would allow Google to reduce the burden of a 50 to 60% revenue sharing deal with Apple for Google searches on iOS devices. The move by Google is also a sign of a replay of the desktop browser wars of the 1990s. Remember them? This time,
thought it was still going.
Yeah, well, this time it's moving to the mobile arena. The move would make sense for Google, which recently released Chrome Mobile for the latest Android and Ice Cream Sandwich OS. But obviously, there's a few obstacles along the way. Now, in other news too, let me just back that up. I came across an interesting table doing my research today, which is the mobile tablet browser market share.
Yes.
Ooh.
Now, this I thought was amazing. The top browser for mobile devices by a long way is Safari.
Why is that surprising?
That doesn't surprise me.
I just thought that that compared to what the next one down is, it doesn't surprise me, but the distance, the gap between that and number two
that would be
is what I thought was surprising. Mm. Now, Safari has 63.84% of the browser market share on mobile devices.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two at 18%.
Oof, it's a big jump.
Is the Android browser.
Android browser, yeah.
So they're your two top dogs, and the distance
between
them.
Well, your one top dog and your little dog.
Well, yeah.
60% versus 18%.
Correct.
It's a massive difference.
Correct. The other ones that Gainer mentioned there, 12% is Opera Mini, and then we plummet down to 1.62%, which is BlackBerry, would you believe? Symbian Grapes are mentioned at 1.32%.
Gosh.
So, yeah.
I've got a timely app of the week for you this week, speaking of mobile browsers.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
It's a teaser.
Oh.
Ooh.
We're good with teasers tonight.
I think what might be tricking you, Andrew, with those figures and what you were expecting, you're expecting it to be more of a 50-50 between Android. And what you're basing that on is current sales. So at the moment, the sales of Android-y devices is about equivalent to sales of iPhone devices.
Well, it depends who
but
you believe.
But you're forgetting the history of all the iPhones that are still out there.
And iPads.
And iPads, and that are still out there from history.
Yeah, well, if you think about the iPad, Apple certainly have the
tablet. So
how long's
the iPhone market been out now since the first iPhone came out?
4 years?
At least.
Five,
longer
maybe?
Than that, isn't it?
Five, it depends if you include 2G or not, or straight to 3G, which would be here.
Well, we're talking worldwide stats here, so this includes
five, 6 years then if you're including 2G.
Yeah. And the Android's really only been a contender in the marketplace in the last couple of years. So you've got a lot of existing units out there that are in use and hitting the mobile websites and
Warlock,
being counted in your stats.
Warlock on the chat pointed out the iPod Touch as well has Safari.
Oh, yes.
So
you forget about a lot of those, don't you? And they're absolutely everywhere, especially with the young school children of today.
Yep.
That's a good point.
It's
yeah.
their predecessor yeah. to an iPhone. They get an iPod,
iPod Touch,
which is everything but the telephone, really, isn't it?
It's an iPhone without a phone in it, yeah.
Yeah, too right.
Which is perfect for kids.
Now, it's worth talking about, but unfortunately we've run out of time.
Oh,
Google.
Is it in red?
No, we've covered all the red ones. Thank you, Dr. Ron. That's good. Cool. Google's revamping its US search engine. Now, if you have a look on the Google blog, you can see how this
they
works.
They do this on a constant basis. They're constantly tweaking it.
Yeah, but they've got to do that.
Revamping it. Yeah, absolutely.
If it stayed the same, then they'd go the way of Windows.
Well, we
Yahoo.
Yeah, well, there's another thing we should talk about today, too. Yahoo have basically sold... another story. This is a new version of search, and what they're doing, you know the white space on the right-hand side of the screen in search? This is in the US only at the moment. Basically, if you search for something, it's going to throw pictorial grams up and further information, like, say, for example, you search for Alexander Graham Bell for want of someone to choose from. On the right-hand side, it'll probably list show photos of him, it'll list his birth date, and list pictures, all those relevant information, which is only going to add to your wilfing factor because it's going to throw all sorts of interesting things up there on the right-hand side, but it's all going to be clickable.
Google's calling this a knowledge graph.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
No more, join the dots, link to link type sort of thing. They're actually trying to anticipate a little bit more about. So
Wikipedia's not going
to
be happy. If you look at it, it is a basic version of the information that you go to Wikipedia for.
Well, it's the information that people are looking for. So yeah, I've used your example.
Yep.
I've gone to the US Google site and I've typed in Alexander Graham Bell, and it's come up with his photograph, which they've taken from Wikipedia. It's a brief description. He was an eminent scientist, inventor, engineer, and innovator credited with inventing the first practical telephone, which has also come from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He's got his birth and death date. He's got his spouse's name, his children's name, where he was educated, and all of those things are links to the website. So born March 3rd, 1847 in Edinburgh, and it's got a link to Edinburgh. So if you want to go, if people from Edinburgh is what you're looking for, that it'll take you there. And it's got what people also searched for when they were searching for Alexander Graham Bell. They also searched for Thomas Edison and Henry Ford and Samuel Morse.
Welcome to Wolfing Central.
Yeah. So yeah, that. But the idea is that
Googlepedia.
You get, yeah, exactly. When you type in Alexander Graham Bell, you're researching something.
Yeah.
You're either researching telephones, or you're researching inventors, or you're researching something. And it gives you the starting point.
There's lots more to talk about, but we're out of time. We've got a big announcement to come up with in the next little bit about the TV show, The Pilot. We'll talk about that. Ooh. Hotspot, gadget, app, and website of the week, all coming up after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
The Big T announced its prices for the National Broadband Network.
Ah!
And that's a risk you have to be aware of and you have to be prepared to take.
So you've unnecessarily highlighted that awkward part of the conversation.
DLC stands for downloadable content.
Yeah, that's what it gives you if you've already got the toolbar.
I want a portal gun.
I want a portal gun.
Telstra need to take more safeguards so that one piece of equipment can't take down a network.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
This week's gadget, Andrew, via popular technology sites Engadget and Gizmodo, the electric imp card.
What?
The imp card.
Imp.
Imp.
Is this a Game of Thrones?
I'm trying to say it without popping my P's.
I-M-P.
I-M-P. Imp card. For owners of smartphones, imagine connecting your washing machine and all your light switches and any other electric device you can think of to the internet without expensive smart house technology. Imp cards can be installed in any electronic device to put the device online.
Are you telling me I can put my clothes dryer online through an imp technology?
Have a listen to this. The little cards are almost identical to standard SD cards, but have got Wi-Fi antenna and embedded processors.
What?
You can install them to existing devices using some of the circuit boards sold by Electric Imp, and the company is in talks with OEMs, or manufacturers, to get IMP slots pre-installed on a range of products. Once installed, they connect to the internet and IMP's cloud-based software controls, allowing them to both be controlled remotely and work in conjunction with other devices.
I love it.
A $25 web interface lets you then control your IMP cards remotely. For more information, have a look at www.electricimp.com.
Very good.
That's our gadget, Andrew.
And how much is it, does it say?
Well, in addition to the IMP cards, a $25 web interface. So presumably you have an account with Electric Imp.
All right, so there's ongoing costs.
There are ongoing costs.
All right.
Worth it.
Think about that, that'd be awesome.
Can you turn the lights off from bed?
Yeah, when you're,
I'll get out your
lazy washing machine finishes. That's a gadget, Andrew.
What I want to do is turn the electric blanket on when you're about 20 minutes from
home.
That's
good.
That's the one I want to
do. Well, it'll do that sort of stuff.
Excellent. Awesome.
The Electric Imp card.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
res.net.au. Would you like to learn amateur radio and electronics?
No.
No.
Okay. That's the website, Andrew. You can study at your own pace online to achieve.
Oh, we got an email from a listener.
Yeah, amateur operator certificate of proficiency and get your foundation license. Ron VK2DQ via the contact form says, after our query a couple of weeks ago about maritime licenses and amateur radio licenses, a complete foundation course is now available for free at this website. Then click on foundation license. Regards, Ron. It's a terrific site with FAQs, trial exams, links to facilitators that run exams. There are training videos and much, much more.
Okay.
I thought it was a good one. www.res.net.au.
I might just add that 3 out of 4 people in this room know exactly what you're talking about, so pick the odd one out.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
I'm not odd.
I never said you were.
I'm a little bit, but I'm all right with it.
We're still working through app of the week suggestions from last year's competition, believe it or not.
Really?
Thanks, Levi, for this suggestion.
We've got things to give away. We keep forgetting to give them away.
We will, though. I teased a little bit earlier that, we're talking about mobile browsers. Skyfire, says Levi. Skyfire, the alternative browser that allows you to view flash video content on your iPhone and other devices.
Mm.
You can get it for your mobile device at get.skyfire.com. It's $2.99 in Apple's App Store, and it's free in Google's Play Store. I've loaded it up on my Android device.
Does it work?
It works
does
quite well.
Yeah?
It looks like a...
Doesn't your Android device already work with Flash websites?
It does. It does. And this browser also makes my Android look like an iPhone when I'm web browsing. But that's okay. But that's okay. It's good. It works.
Might be good for people who are changing from iPhone to Android.
Exactly.
Does it work on your tablet?
Ease the transition.
Ease the transition. I haven't. What? I haven't
no,
got
no, no.
Tablet,
they'll find it scary because all the websites will have stuff on that works for a change.
Flash is dead. I don't care.
Andrew, that's our app. Skyfire.
Hang on. I want to see if Lena digs a bit more of a hole. No? Okay.
Oh, there's no, I'm not digging a hole.
Okay, moving on.
No, no.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Craig, you're not getting the password to my imp network. It won't be happening.
They all want passwords to watch our Tech Talk TV.
I'm going
to
get this over and done with them.
Television?
Yeah, I know. They're all sitting there. They're tensed up. They're trying to buy them off you. You're offering bribes now, are you, Lena?
Yeah, I know the password.
No, you can't watch it till we're off the radio,
She's
guys.
She's got them on eBay.
Oh, is that what it is?
In the strange but true category, a mobile application in Kenya is providing dairy farmers with a support and advice service by delivering tailored, time-sensitive SMS updates on how to look after cows during gestation, calving, and throughout the rest of the cow's life.
Can I ask what words you typed into Google to find this?
Launched in June last year, iCow has been a runaway success, and farmers have reported
Watch out for your fences, because you're liable once they get on the other... Sorry, runaway.
No. Farmers have reported significant increases in milk yields from their cows simply by using iCow and adopting a few relatively straightforward processes. Funded by the Indigo Trust, a grant-making foundation that supports technology-driven projects to bring about social change in African countries, iCow is building a global reputation as one of the most innovative agricultural applications. That's our odd spot, Andrew.
Moo.
Did you just moo like a cow?
No. That was Graham.
Just testing.
I'm speechless.
My microphone's way over there.
So's Graham.
Pick on him when he can't fight back. That's the rules.
Nice.
Mm. What do you mean when he can't fight back?
He wasn't near his microphone.
What's all this about a television show?
I'm doing my AOCP theory exam.
Oh, you are too.
Which of the following classes of amplifier would be most suitable for it?
Oh, dear.
don't let us bother you. We'll talk about telly.
Yeah, telly.
Tell us about television.
Well, you can tell us about telly too. You've been there along the way.
I know nothing.
You've all been victims of twit picks and stuff like that. We've decided to potentially take this humble little show, which has been running for how many years now?
Six.
Eight.
Any advance on eight? Going once,
pop
going
it up
twice.
On eBay and see what we can get for it. Anyway, we got together one night and said, what a silly idea, let's do it.
Just like the radio program.
Just like the radio program, except it's got pictures.
Yay!
We went out radio with pictures.
What a novel concept, but it's in colour.
Technicolor.
And it's in high definition.
Coloured television.
Nicolour.
Yeah.
Nicolour.
Get it?
The Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, good.
He's going to hurt me.
What's the program called, Andrew?
I don't know.
Well, the working title's been Tech Talk TV for a while.
Oh, look, it has many working titles.
But the pilot is called Switched.
It is.
That's the name of our new TV program.
How do you spell that, Dr. Ron?
You spell that Switch, apostrophe D.
You do.
Switched without an E and with an apostrophe.
If you go to the following top secret website.
Ooh, here it comes.
www.techtalkradio.com.au/TV.
Oh, what a giveaway.
See if you can remember that.
Do you reckon? Do you want to say it again for those who...
So it's just our website with /TV on the end.
That's all it is.
I know.
Genius.
Don't want to make it too hard for people.
No, that's right.
You'll be asked for a password, Andrew.
You will.
Tell us about the password.
Oh, I've forgotten.
I know it.
Do you?
Yep.
Have you sold them all yet, or have you still got one to announce?
Did you want to sell them?
Sure.
What did you get on eBay for the last one?
Nothing.
Oh.
Because I knew it was coming anyway, so why give money? Do you want to know what it is?
Yes. Off you go.
Hang on.
Before you do it, terms and conditions of doing this, not your terms and conditions, no tweeting. No linking. Don't put it on the internet anywhere,
no
please.
No sharing.
Don't link to it or tweet it or Facebook it or anything like that.
As soon as we find links, the thing is coming down. The link is coming down. But this is something for your entertainment now. You've heard the show. Now, you don't have to go to bed just yet. You can get another half hour of
now,
this.
Now, the purpose of doing this is to get your comments on the show. So if you watch it, please, please, please click on the comment thing and tell us what you think is good and what you think is bad.
Lena,
what needs changing and what needs adjusting?
Is techtalkradio.com.au/TV. The password is switch. No apostrophe, no D.
Yeah, just to trick
him. Lowercase.
Yep.
SWITCH.
Switch.
Yeah.
Go and enjoy it, guys. We'll be back same time next week. Looking forward to your feedback, because that's part of it.
Give us your feedback. We want to know what you think. Has it got legs? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it otherwise?
It's HD. Go wind the telly up.
Yeah,
sit back in the living room.
Hit the full screen button.
Hit the full screen button. Crank up the volume.
And connect your good speakers, because it sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. All right, till next
week. Hit with your best shot.
Yeah. You'll see us all in Technicolor, as Lena says. Till next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.